The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and
Wynn Carpenter. Good morning.
And we are here with Jefferson State of Mind.
Mind.
Broadcasting live from downtown Reading at KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM. We're also streaming live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever.
And ever. Amen.
If you have a question or a comment during the show, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. We're going to start this program with some, well, all the news that you've heard already about our congressman passing away, which is at a very young age and a shock and a surprise to many of us. You know, we wish Jill and the kids and all his family the very, very best, and hope that they understand and know that our prayers are with them. And
absolutely,
we know that was a great loss, and we'll have some pretty fun stories about that right after we play something for you in just a moment. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming election, how all that's going to work, how mm-hmm. the seats get filled, and how that congressional seat will get filled. Anyway, with that, Alex, you want to play that clip of President Trump talking about the congressman?
Yeah, he was giving a speech this past Tuesday to the House Republicans, and he dedicated the speech to LaMalfa. So here we go.
Is it playing?
Little error queuing up. Hang on. Here we go now.
Great, great, great member. Congressman Doug LaMalfa, who passed away yesterday, as you probably have heard. And he was the leader of the Western Caucus, a fierce champion on California water issues. He was great on water. He wanted to release the water, he'd scream out. And a true defender of American children. He was a defender of everybody. And our hearts go out to his wife, Jill, and his entire family. You know, he voted with me 100% of the time. I was really saddened by his passing and was thinking about not even doing the speech in his honor. But then I decided that I have to do it in his honor. I'll do it in his honor because he would have wanted it that way. He would have wanted it that way. He would have said, do that speech. Are you kidding me? Do the speech, big guy. But he was a fantastic person. Man, that was a quick one. I don't know quite yet what happened, but boy, it's a tough one. He was just with us. He was our friend, all of us, every one of us.
Well, that was the President of the United States talking about our
congressman
and our former congressman. And anyway, there's some fun memories I think we all have. Doug, when we first started the Tea Party, he was actually in the Assembly and then went to the Senate, State Senate, where he did a stellar job. And he was involved with us at the Tea Party, I mean, at least once a month he'd be at a meeting. And
if there was a barbecue, if you ever went to a barbecue, you always looked for Doug. Look for Doug. He's there. It wasn't hard to miss because he's always the tall one over there somewhere.
I got a funny story out. You'll remember this one about the Fall River Fair.
Mm-hmm.
The congressman was there, and we had a booth for the state of Jefferson.
Right, right.
And he was there, and he would always visit our booth. He was always a proponent for the state of Jefferson.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a funny story because he said he found the very best corn dogs. We both like corn dogs.
And yep.
He found the very best one that was the cheapest. And it's the cheapest. Usually that would be first, and it's the best
yes.
for Doug, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so he said he could find it. And I said, well, I'll bet you that I could find one cheaper and bigger. And he said, no. He said, I'll take you on that bet. I go, okay, how about $10 or you buy a Jefferson hat and you wear it in the parade where thousands of people are going to watch you.
Mm-hmm.
So we went around together, and all of a sudden he had to concede that the corn dog that I found, and I actually got that information from somebody who was a local there, was cheaper. So he wore that hat during that parade. And he went and sat in our booth
yep.
several times.
Yep.
Sat in that Jefferson booth and just visited with a hat on.
Yep.
In fact, in Congress, on the back of his door, he hung a Jefferson flag.
Oh, yeah, and that's the infamous picture where Gavin Newsom is sitting in his office at that table with the Jefferson flag right behind him. So, everybody, I'm sure if you haven't seen that yet, look it up. It's out there.
What's that car he had? Was it a Falcon or something? He had that
Mustang.
It was a Mustang, but yeah. It was an older Mustang.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was classic.
Anyway, so he had his Mustang, and he was down in Corning.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Okay, and
yep.
We were at a meeting, a Tea Party, a Jefferson meeting.
Jefferson meeting down there, yeah.
In Corning, and he locked his keys in the car. Okay, so we all stood around and waited for him so he could get the keys out of the car, which, number one, showed the great human side of Doug. He was right. real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was real. And so it was kind of a fun story because it's kind of like, and at that time, I think he was a congressman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, he's like other people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of the things that he did, like he did vote with Trump, 100% of the time. There were some things that he voted for that a lot of us were going, why are you voting for that? Well, you don't agree with everybody 100% of the time.
Right.
You know, all of you that are married understand that, right? So the thing is, there was a lot of really, there was quite a human side to Doug LaMalfa, quite a human side.
Mm-hmm. He was a good man, very good man.
So I guess the question is, and if you have a memory or you have something you want to say about Doug LaMalfa, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567.
The first time I met him was over the phone when David was training me back here, and the phone rang, and I pick it up. Who is this? Doug LaMalfa, are they interviewing you today? I didn't know who he was. And so David's just laughing hysterically behind me. That's our congressman. So that's my story.
Yeah, and it's neat because, you know, that's just the kind of guy he was. We did, we did that interview with him, what was it, a month and a half ago?
A little more than a month, yeah.
A little more than a month, and if you want to go back and listen to that, that was the last interview that, mm-hmm. like that, we did a full hour with no commercial breaks.
Right.
And so if you go back to the archive, I believe should be about 6 to 8 back. Mm. But yeah, I think that, I think that we need to kind of understand how things are going to work in this next election and what happens with that seat.
Yeah, with somebody filling his seat, yeah.
Well, it's California Election Code number 10700. And the governor must issue a proclamation for a special election within 14 days of the vacancy. So that means that by next week, Governor Newsom's going to have to make a decision. Now, California Election Code 10703 says that the election must take place on a Tuesday between 126 to 140 days following the proclamation. So that probably means that the election could potentially happen at the same time as the
general or the primary.
The 6th. In fact, that's pretty much what most people are thinking.
Okay.
And I guess there is one spot where you can, for District 1, mm-hmm. you can run for the remainder of
the seat.
Of the seat.
Okay.
And then the other part of that is that you can also vote for or somebody running for the new district, District 2.
Well, isn't District 2 it's going to be on the primary.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both going to be on there.
Yeah. And it's a little confusing, folks. And, you know, because we are going to District 2.
So then if somebody runs for the remainder of District 1 vacancy, so from the election, which would be in June, which would be the primary, and then if there are a plethora of people that run for it, so then that means it goes to November, whoever gets it would be in it from essentially from November until January, if that's the case, and then if they didn't win it for the four-year term.
Well, I think the way that it works is
two-year term, I guess.
Yeah, once that race is over, they fill it immediately.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So
But if there are a lot running in June, then they would have to.
Well, that's a good point. That's a great point, man. I'm not really sure how that would work if you get more than a couple running. But I mean, having a person just for the continuation of District 1 is a little dicey anyway.
Right.
If you're running for District 1.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be your district in January.
If you're right. Living in District, what's going to be District 2. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, somebody in Butte County might have a shot at it.
Well, yeah, the southern counties that are southern District 1 currently.
District 1.
Yeah.
And it'll still be District 1.
Correct.
So that's going to be it's sort of like, well, is there going, I mean, how's that going to work? What would the Democrat strategy be? It might be that they want to run Audrey Denny again down there. I believe she's in
Butte
County.
There was a Facebook post about her, a month or so ago.
Yeah.
Maybe a little longer. And she was talking about that.
Oh, was she?
If I remember correctly, that she was going to be amping up and doing something. And it was sent to me by somebody else. I'll see if I can find that.
So she could actually run for the remainder of District 1,
mm-hmm.
and then run for District 2.
No, where is she?
Well, yeah.
She's Butte County. So it'd be District 1.
District 1.
It'd be District 1.
So she'd
1.
Stay there.
Yeah.
Okay, so she runs for the remainder, then she would stay.
Mm-hmm.
In District 1, which, okay. And then again, we'd lose another Republican in the Congress.
Right.
And I'm not really sure how it's going to go in Marin County.
Well, and that's what we all have to keep in mind, too, for District 2, which we will be in. It's going to be Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, Trinity, Del Norte, Mendocino, Humboldt, Sonoma, and Marin. So keep in mind of all the blue counties that are joining us, or we are joining those blue counties, if you will, and it was all done by design by Sacramento. It was all done by design. And then the unfortunate part of Doug passing, that's going to be a painful part for the southern part of District 1. So who knows what's going to happen there? I mean, we just have to pray hard and work harder.
Yeah, you know, we need to have a candidate who would run in that particular, at least run for the remainder of District 1. It'd be nice to have somebody, even if they were just going to do it for 6 months, a conservative.
Right, right.
You know, it'd be nice. The challenge is that if you look at someone like if they did something with a Democrat running for District 1 for the remainder, and then staying in District 1, like someone like Audrey Denny.
Mm-hmm.
If you ran somebody like that, basically there's the transition period is important because the person who wins that particular intermediate seat
mm-hmm.
becomes the incumbent.
Right.
And we all know that incumbents in California, it's a 93%
right.
ratio of incumbents. Now, another thing, too, is winning
the next election, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
And where's the Republican Party going to throw their money? See, that's another thing, too. Usually,
we can't have 12 Republicans who are all puffing up their chest going out there saying that they're going to win.
Sounds like the governorship.
Yeah, they can't do that because what's going to happen? Every one of them will lose because they're taking each other out. Get behind each other, have those hard conversations in the beginning before you declare, before you put your name out there, because once your name's out there and you've filed, you're on the ballot. Do not muddy the waters. Do not mess this up. All of them. I put that challenge out to all of them. I don't care what kind of money they have. I don't care what kind of experience they have. They need to get behind each other to support each other so that we can win District 2. It's important that we do for us, and we need to win District 1 for everybody else who's going to be remaining in District 1. We need to win both of them. So come on, folks, do the right thing. Be smart about it. Be strategic and have those conversations. If you hear somebody's going to be running and they could be they could be somebody who could give you a run for your money, so to speak, or just totally wipe you out. Offer your support behind them even, you know, whatever you need to do. But have those conversations. Those need to be had. We need to leave the egos at the door, and we need to move forward.
That's a great point, Wendy. And, you know, when you look at what's going on in the gubernatorial race, we have like 18 running. And the way I understand it, and if you have the answer for this or someone out there does, you can let our engineer know. But, you know, it looks like the whole issue right now of Prop 50 is going to stay the way it is. I mean, a lot of people are saying, you know, I'm hearing a lot of stuff about it being overturned, you know, but I don't know how much of that there really is. And getting behind one candidate is so vitally important. You would mm-hmm. hope that the gubernatorial race would do that. And I have heard that March 1st is the last day you can
file
for governor.
Okay.
And so we may not be done yet. And at this point, we have a couple of front runners. I guess Hilton and Sheriff
Bianco,
mm-hmm. I think, are the two front runners. There's a lot of people that are, you know, and there's a lot of people that are good people running for governor. But okay. I mean, what are they thinking?
So
18.
You say they're front runners, according to who?
Well, I think according to the polls, and I think according
and
to
those polls are.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah,
right.
We all have to be very careful and cautious of those. Just because a poll says it or a number is released that a poll says it. What poll, who's running the polls, and is their data correct, and is it money just behind those polls to say that so-and-so is winning?
And I think that, and that's on the Republican side, of course, but,
right.
It's one of those things, too, where when you look at all this, you kind of think, and you're absolutely right about the polls, when you look at all this, you're thinking about name recognition. I mean, that's why mm-hmm. I think a lot of this is getting your name out there, and I know that there's a lot of good people that get their names out there maybe in Christian circles, or getting out there in people who are in high finance, or people who want to see where the money's flowing. Mm-hmm. You know, I can think of a couple of candidates that are, I don't know, they're fiscally conservative, but they're also understanding where the money has to come from and go to and everything else. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, too, is where's the Republican Party going to throw their money? You know, mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
Are they going to throw it at Hilton? Are they going to throw it at
Bianco?
Sure. Yeah, Bianco. Yeah. But,
or somebody else even. Who knows?
Or somebody else. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell, but I think that what we need to start doing is uniting mm-hmm. people, and that's something that we have a difficult time doing. And I was talking to somebody about that. In fact, it was the chairman of the Republican Central Committee in Marin County. And we had talked about that, and it's kind of like, well, the most Republican Central Committees are now in the process of having, I don't know, inner war in the fact that you're looking, you know,
yes.
You're looking at there's a lot of, you know, they believe that the rhinos are running the Republican Party. The rhinos have control. And I think that there's only 28 active Republican Central Committees in California that are really active anyway. I know Modoc has three and Coos County has two people. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you look at this, the active ones, I know Marin County's active.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I talked to their chairman at length and a good man. But they're going through the same thing. They're trying to bring conservatism forward, and, you know, what the people want forward rather than what the Republican Party wants
right.
forward or
right.
who they think should be the next man up.
Right.
So with all that going on, I was told by this individual, well, that's because that we're critical thinkers on our side of the aisle. Well, okay, if a critical thinker or you just won't let your ego get out of the way. You know, I mean, that's the thing. A critical thinker is one thing, but when you have a situation when you've got people that are running for office and they just believe they're going to be the one no matter what,
mm-hmm.
and they believe it because they have a lot of confidence.
It's ego.
It ends up being really tough. And what Wynn's saying is absolutely correct. I think that, you know, sooner or later, you've got to get behind something.
Well, and it's okay to be wrong initially, you know, but when you realize that or it's been pointed out to you and you've had those good, solid, qualified discussions without your own ego going into those discussions, listen to people. Listen to what's going on. Do the deep dive. trust but verify. I mean, you know, all those things, you have to do it. Otherwise, you're going to end up going after the same thing over and over again, and what are we doing? We're shooting ourselves in the foot one more time, and then we all step back and say, well, how come it never happened? It's because that's what's going on. So hold yourself accountable, but also hold the people that we're going to be hopefully electing accountable, and for the people that are going to be running in these races, ask the hard questions. Don't let them skirt it, and don't let them give you a political answer, you know, or a politician's answer, I should say, where they say they answer everything else under the sun but the question that you ask. You know, so you need to drill down and make sure that you push it forward. And we don't need to have platitudes. We don't need to have all these long definitions or explanations of for answers. We need sometimes it's just a simple yes or no. And a lot of them cannot do a yes or no. And when they do that, I would walk away.
Yeah, you're 100% right, I think. You know, and when you look at all this, it's like, you know, I've talked to other talk show hosts. Mm-hmm. I've talked to other people who do radio podcasts. And when you have the issue, you're just talking about somebody skirting around the answer or dancing around it or maybe making a joke and making something light of something mm-hmm. where the answer isn't really forthcoming. That usually the host is saying, well, you know, they just wouldn't answer the question. Well, I think what we're going to do this year, folks, on our program anyway, is we're going to wait and demand an answer to the question.
We may not have any people come on. That's the case.
A lot of them won't come on. But, you know, we're going to want an answer to the question, and we won't try to do anything. We aren't going to do any gotcha stuff.
We don't do that.
No, we don't anyway.
No,
I mean,
don't.
Just answer the question. I mean, this is what people are asking, and we care about what people want as far as their questions when we have a candidate on.
Right.
If we have a guest on, and a lot of the guests we have on are politically involved. And when we have that guest on, Wynn and I both ask constituents and people that we know, hey, do you have a question? Do you have something that you want answered? Do you have from this particular candidate?
Right.
And, you know, I'm getting a lot of feedback and from some Zooms and some other people in the state of California that the Republicans are thinking about getting behind one person. Now, I keep hearing this, but I haven't seen any of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still people asking for money. There's still all this stuff that's going on, you know, and I think that we have to start beginning to understand that we have to get united,
right.
Even on the county level.
Right.
I mean, we have, you know, we have division on the county level. We have people that were friends that aren't friends. We have... And everybody kind of wants the same thing. It seems like they want the same thing.
Well, it appears to. When you talk to all of them individually, they seem to want it. But when they get together in the same room, for whatever reason, like you said, now they're former friends or former whatever colleagues, they aren't there anymore, and that bond is broken. So what happened? You know, come on. We all have to do our part, and we have to check the ego at the door. Leave the egos out of this whole equation, because if the ego gets in the way, then it's slowing down the progress, and we cannot have that. We cannot afford to do that in the current state of California, in the current state of, you know, any county, you name it, and the city, you name it, in California. We're all under a lot of pressure to get things done right. We have to work together to get that done. So let's just do it. Get it done.
You know, a lot of people that are elected say, well, you elected me to make the decision. In other words, I'm your voice. You elected me to do it. And then when you have a situation where you have a lot of the constituents wanting a certain thing and you don't want it, at what point as an elected official is that line, you know, need to be?
Well, that's the thing. When we elect somebody or we vote for somebody, we'll say, well, when we vote for somebody, we're entrusting that they're going to carry out what we've known them to be like and what they have told us in the past. We, unless there's some huge information change that we as the voters are not privy to, then they can make those other decisions. But until that happens, or until they at least articulate that, they don't have to tell us the information, because sometimes legally they can't at the moment. It may come out later, but at the moment when they have to make a vote or make a decision, they can't always say it. By law, you know, they've got to protect everybody involved, and including us, the constituency. So sometimes they have to make those hard decisions, but down the road, then you find out, oh, this, and this happened, and then, boom, they could talk about it. And sometimes they'll never be able to talk about it, depending on what's going on. You know, if there's lawsuits against the county or whatever, you just never, or the city or the state, you just never know what the story is behind the scenes, because when they go into closed session, there's a reason for that. It's protection, not only just for, you know, for all the parties involved. So I get it. I understand that. But at the same time, we have to trust that they're going to do the right thing. And if they seem to go against what we're thinking, ask them in a good way. Don't attack. You know, that's the hard part. A lot of people, they just want to go attack. Hey, you did this, you did that. And they get on social media and point fingers and say derogatory things. And that's when things start getting ugly. And then they get together and they banter up five other people that don't know what was going on. And then all of a sudden, now you've got a whole crowd that are all ticked off at the friendly that we have in office that was your friend before. You know, somebody you knew, somebody you would have a drink with or go out to dinner or whatever, social settings. And so we have to stop that, because that's how we keep shooting ourselves in the foot over and over and over.
Well, with that, we're going to go off to our break, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
You can hate me, try to break me, talk me down and denigrate me. You can try to silence every word, but I will not be leaving quietly. Nah, I won't leave. I won't leave. I will not be leaving quietly.
Hi. This is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Hey neighbors, have you ever wondered where you can find a store that truly feels like home? Well, look no further. Grange Co-op has been community focused since 1934, and guess what? We're not just a store, we're owned by customers just like you. Yep, that's right, it's all about community here. So why choose Grange Co-op? When you shop with us, you're not just supporting a store, you're supporting a community. Grange Co-op has what you need for your home, garden, pets, and farm. Grange Co-op, where the values of yesterday meet the needs of today.
When you have a workers' compensation case, the insurance companies and adjusters are not on your side. Speak with an attorney to be sure you're not missing out on the benefits that you need and are entitled to. Workers' compensation is complicated. Gorman Law can help you turn a bad situation into a new opportunity. Call us at 530-262-2168, 530-262-2168, or schedule a free consultation online at GormanComplaw.com.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
I will not comply. Quit trying to take me to task, cause I don't want to wear a mask or take a vaccine that could maybe make me die. They got no scientific evidence to back that crap up. All they do is feed us lies a lie. That's why I will not comply.
No, no, no,
no, no. No way, Jose.
We won't comply.
No how.
We had a caller who called in, and, yeah, Mark Baird was going to call, and he still might. He's in the middle of As a pilot, he has to do a certain training every year.
Yep.
And he got called away, and he's gone doing that as we speak.
Right.
Maybe if we have time in the program, we can fill you in on exactly what's going with the Second Amendment court case and explain some things. Or if you have questions about it, you can call in 530-605-4567 because we pretty much have a handle on what's going on with that. But Mark will be on next Sunday. On the 18th, he'll mm-hmm. be on with us, and it looks like we're going to be doing a podcast on Mountaintop Media. That's Mountaintop Media, and I'll announce that on KCNR during the week with Mark Baird talking about the case. There's not a lot much more than we talked about the last time we had him on.
Right.
I think he's going to be on another program this weekend coming and then on ours, but I think that there's not really much more
right.
he can talk about. There's a couple of new things that he called Wynn and I and talked to us about. Mm-hmm. Anyway, with that, we have Steve on the line. Steve, how are you, sir?
I am great.
Good.
Yeah, the timing was perfect for Mark and his case with Trump being in office and the two judges that voted for him and how that all went. So with the timing that's going on in our country, and the obvious fraud that's going on in every county and state with all of the, Minnesota, and now they say California is twice or three times worse. It's a great time to bring up the fact that the counties hold their money from the state that's in tyranny, that the state that we live in that is a communistic, the few people down there in Sacramento, it's not really California per se. It's just a few people, 30, 40 people in Sacramento that's ruining our whole state. So with the tyranny that's going on and the obvious criminal charges that are going to be coming out, we have no business sending our money, our tax money, to the state. So that's just my comment. And the other thing is that, Wynn was really, really correct in the way in approaching other people in our speech and stuff. If we all talk to each other as if we are in a God consciousness and understanding and remembering the Ten Commandments, then that solves a lot of problems. Thank you very much for your time and your show, you guys.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet, Steve.
Have a good day. Well, Steve's right. I said this before, and I'll say it again. If the boards of supervisors would give directive to their tax collector and anybody else within the county to stop all payment going to Sacramento, we could bring Sacramento to their knees, especially with all 58 counties doing it. But even if just a handful of counties do it, and it just has to start somewhere. So I would say challenge proposed to Shasta County, start it there, because control your money. You're always complaining about not having enough money. We do have plenty of money. When we send our money to Sacramento, they put it in the giant blender down there. They send us back fragments or bits and pieces of the money, a small percentage of the money that we've generated in our county. So I think we need to take control of that, and our county leadership needs to be good stewards of that, and our city council and city folks need to be good stewards of all the money that is generated in our area, and they need to do that. And I challenge them to step up to the plate and to do the difficult thing of doing the right thing.
Yeah, and Wynn's right, and Steve, you're right. I mean, it'd be great, but again, how do we make them do it? That's been the problem all along. It's kind of like, we used to have in Siskiyou County, we had they were the first county that said, hey, we need to have the state of Jefferson because
yep.
California is just not giving us representation. Yet I know that
and we're still here.
Yeah, we're still
lack of representation and dilution
still
of
still here. Yep. And it seems like a lot of the counties. I mean, I would think that, state split. I mean, Shasta County did back the resolution put forth by James Gallagher and
yep.
seven other assembly people. They backed the resolution, but it's fine. I mean, it's great. I mean, everything that Steve is saying is true. It's just that we need to get our boards to do it. So, there's got to be a couple of conservatives up there in Siskiyou County that might do something.
They've had a leadership change, so maybe something's going to happen. Who knows?
That'd be great. But I mean, everything that's going on in California with all the corruption that we have is insane. But Wynn wanted to bring up again, and again, if you have any questions, or if you have something that you want to talk a little bit about Mark's court case. I guess we know just enough to make us dangerous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's always the case.
But as far as the election process, you wanted to talk about
I wanted you to reiterate what you said earlier about, you know, the process for, filling the vacancy that Doug's death, created for District 1, and then how that would happen. And then we can talk about how District 2 would play into it.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, it's election code 10700. The governor must issue a proclamation for a special election within 14 days of the vacancy. The second election code is 10703. The election must take place on a Tuesday between 126 to 140 days following the proclamation. So the way things kind of fall, the general consensus is that the primary election we have on June 6th, that's where we're going to have this election process happen. There'll be one box there for people who are running for District 1, the remainder of that time. And I would think that it would happen right after the election. Because other than, if that's the case, then you'd run from when? November to January? I mean, so I think that it would have to happen right after the election. And then the other part of that is that there'll be us voting on District 2, because we're now District 2, not District 1 anymore. So we very well.
So we won't have a vote in District 1.
Well, we will on the first part of it, because we're still District 1. And the void has to be filled like today.
Yeah, I agree. But if they still have 126 to 140 days from the 14th day of the vacancy occurring, right, after the governor does his
proclamation. Well, he has up to 14 days to do it.
And he's going to use it.
He will.
He's going to use
every ounce.
But it bumps it out into June. So I'm just doing a rough crunching of numbers, looking with the calendar. It will bump it out to either late May or early June, so that would be right in line with
the primary.
So that's what's going to happen. So the big question is, do we vote for District 1? Because we'll still be living in District 1 from June until January. So we should be voting in District 1.
We will be.
Yes.
For that temporary
appointment. But then we'll also be voting for District 2 at the same time for whoever's going to be running for District 2, because we will be District 2 as of January, the following January, but we're holding the vote in June. So district folks in the North State, we get to vote in both District 1 and District 2. District 1 for the temporary fulfillment of that position that will run from, I would assume, immediate until January. And then we will fill we will vote on the District 2 portion that we will remain in for the counties that are in it from January on, but we're going to vote for it in June, and it may end up being bumped out into November. And same with District 1.
What a cluster.
So if it bumps out into November for District 1 because so many people decide to run and mess it up, then guess what? Whoever gets elected will be voted in November for District 1, and they'll have to be in office for balance of November, December, and then they're either out or whatever.
Actually, a special election makes more sense.
It does.
And we don't know that the governor's not going to do that.
But do they have the money to do that? That's what people are going to claim. There's no money. Well, really, there's no money.
There's never been any money. He just raises your taxes.
So then it goes back to what I said earlier. Let's control the money in the counties, like Steve was saying earlier. Let's just bring it back full circle and keep the money in our counties, and then not give it to Sacramento because they piddle it away, and we can hold our locals accountable for it at every county respectively, and we can have the money for the elections. We can have the money for all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, maybe the thing to do, I know that there's another option. The individuals can say, I'm not paying.
Right.
But then again, good luck with that.
Yeah.
But if we can get the boards of supervisors to do that, and there might be a couple of them out there that are willing to say, okay, our county's willing to stand up and do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, there is RCRC, isn't there?
Yeah, supposed to be.
Supposed to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the rural counties of California.
Right.
But, you know, that'd be good because really it's the rural counties that get screwed on everything.
They do.
You know, we're the ones who get screwed on the vote. I mean, stop and think about it, folks. Prop 50, you know, Prop 50, you know, we have a court case against it. Is it going to hold up? How's it not going to hold up? Okay.
Right.
Okay. And the other thing is that look at the counties that Wynn has talked about. Modoc, Siskiyou, Shasta, Tehama, Del Norte. All those counties voted almost 70% no.
Right.
On Prop 50.
Yeah.
And just one county can wipe all those out, like Santa Clara can wipe out 12 counties up here.
Yep.
Because we just don't have the votes. Because
right.
We don't have a Republican form of government in California. We have a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it when people use that word because that's, mob rule might be a better.
Right.
You know, and the thing is that we have a situation here where since we don't have any representation, we can vote 70% and it won't matter a hill of beans.
Right. And truly now with, you know, the passing of Doug, we truly do not have representation.
Oh boy.
We don't, because it's not going to be business as usual. I know the staff is doing, you know, working like crazy, and they're probably doing double time now, trying to make sure things are taken care of and doing everything they can and following up with what they can follow up with and getting things done. I'm sure they've got all these tasks, and hats off to them for sticking it out and doing what they have to do. And it's tough when you lose, you know, your boss, your supervisor, whoever.
And a friend.
And he was family to a lot of them because they'd worked together so closely and tight for so long and spent countless hours going over whatever the issues may be before them or in front of them, behind them, whatever. I know that they're feeling the pain, and you know, my heart goes out to them as well, you know.
Sure.
Because it's tough. But is it business as usual? I don't know, because we can't walk in there and say, hey, we need to ask the congressman XYZ. Yeah, that's not going to happen because we don't have a congressman at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hard part. And Doug was accessible. He truly was. I mean, a lot of us, you know, a lot of people had his cell phone number, his office number, whatever we could call and, you know, rattle his cage a little bit or just call and say thank you. I did that a few times. Said thanks for the vote. Happy to do it. Okay, that was it. Just short and sweet. Just, you know, he did that a lot just because I felt it was important that he heard, you know.
The positive,
yeah, because he got beat up so much, poor guy. But, you know, it's just the way it is. And I just want to put that out there that, you know, we don't have representation right now. And so we've been living without representation for a very long time, and we all know that. So what do we do? How do we make it different?
Yeah, and it's
all
even,
the things that we've talked about, all the stuff we've been talking about.
And it's
about
even
today.
Worse now because not only do we not have representation, we don't even have a human being.
Right.
We don't even have somebody in office who wouldn't represent us.
Well, and Doug was a fighter, and he would have fought for District 1. He was going to fight for
the kids.
Exactly. Absolutely. So I don't know. It's a different ball game now, and we all have to be aware of that, and we have to do our best, and everybody contribute in any way you can. Whether, you know, it's physically going out and doing stuff, walking precincts, it's talking to people, or whatever it is, whatever talents you have and that you can share with everybody, do it. Do your part. You can't just wait for somebody else to do the work for you.
And we have local elections coming up. I mean, we've got elections where we have supervisor seats that are going to be out there, and, you know, we have to get behind somebody or get behind maybe the incumbents, maybe not, depending on what you folks think out there and what we all think. I mean, I don't think that the choices that we have that I've seen so far that are running are going to be any kind of improvement on what we have right now already in office. Now, there may be some people who disagree with that, and maybe there is somebody running who's a world beater and, you know, in those two districts. We haven't heard about it. I mean, I've heard some rumors about names, and I've heard names, one name in particular that the fellow's been around quite some time, and I've heard names of people, but I don't know anything for sure. So it is March 1st if you're going to be running for supervisor, correct?
I don't know the dates. I don't know.
When you ran, what date was it? You remember what you had to do it by?
I don't. It was December is when you could declare. And so I declared then.
But the last day to do it, I don't
remember. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, they, you know, and that's the thing. So it's going to depend on who's going to step up and want to do that. I mean, I think one of the things that where people have to be looking is a lot of people aren't staying in their lane. Yeah. You know, if they're good at something, they have to stay and stick to that being good at something. It doesn't mean that you're diversified in something else. But I know that we have a couple supervisors that are really getting in there with the planning department, making permits easier, those kinds of things. And there's people that are, you know, more involved in the health side of the county business, those kinds of things. So there's different things where, you know, I think sometimes, probably for anybody that's running for office, when you really start stepping way out of your lane, it's never going to work well. Mm-hmm. It's not going to end well. And, you know, unless you get, I'm not saying you can't get educated.
Right.
You know, but you better make sure you're educated to have the strategy and the tactics to carry out what you learned.
Right. Right. Well, we've got a lot of things going on here again. So, you know, just need people to do their part. Cause, you know, if you're just going to sit back and wait for everything to be done for you, then why bother? And don't complain. Do not complain. No matter what the outcome is, do not complain. Because if you're not going to do your part, sorry. And a lot of us have done that. We've thrown money at it. We've thrown time, countless hours at things. Hell, we've been doing this radio show for 13, 14 years on Sundays. So, yeah, we've put a little bit of – we have a little skin in the game. And we've been doing it for a long time. We've interviewed numerous candidates and other individuals doing whatever they're doing out there. So, yeah, we've done our part, and we'll continue doing our part. We need others to step up and to do their part as well.
Yeah, and it'll be exciting when Mama J gets back here. She'll be back next week.
Yes, she'll set us straight.
Yeah, well, not only that.
At least you.
What's that?
At least you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've got Sally for that. But yeah, you know, I think that, you know, she'll have some, probably a few things she'll want to say about Congressman LaMalfa. I mean, you know, Janet has a... probably one of the longest tenured Tea Parties in the United States.
Yeah.
Up there in Bernie. You know, and she's kept that thing going.
Yep.
Through
thick and thin.
Thick and thin.
Yep.
Thick and thin. So I think that, you know, the thing we have to be looking at as we go forward in the county is to try to get, I'm not saying reconciliation as much as agreement. We have to have something, at least if you're on the same side of the issues. You know, there's, you know, again, I think everybody is saying they want voter ID. Everybody's saying that they want fair elections.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've heard from most people, is Clint Curtis has done a marvelous job. And, he has done a marvelous job when it comes to what's going on down there. No question about it.
Right.
And then we'll be having him on again, soon. We're going to ask Joanna Francesca to come on, if she wants to come on, here and, give her side of it. You know, it's been kind of quiet on that front.
Right.
And I know that, we'll be reaching out to a lot of candidates. But again, we will be asking the candidates questions, and we'll expect answers.
Right.
We're not going to talk about, you know, oranges, and they're going to be talking about bananas.
Right. Well, and that's the thing too. People that listen want the answers. They want to understand what's going on. They want to hear it firsthand. That, you know, if we're able to be the go-between where we ask the questions and then the candidates answer the questions, then at least it's coming out of their mouth. It's their words that are being shared with the constituency, and that's important, because why would you ask people to vote for you if you're not going to be honest with them, if you're not going to tell them, you know, what it is, whatever the answer is?
Yeah, I think the hard things, I think, for a lot of these candidates is the laundry.
Yep.
You know, doing the laundry, and that's kind of a hard thing, because there's going to be questions where there's always, a problem here or a problem there or a reason for this or a reason for that. One side has one reason, one side has another reason. But a lot of times we can't even get that out of them.
Right.
You know, they're skirting around that issue saying, well, you know, did you do this? And if you did this, why did you do this? More importantly, why did you do this?
Right.
And, because we already know you did it.
Yep.
And that's been a real issue when it comes to a lot of the people that we've interviewed. And I think that, when we did the James Gallagher interview, we got him to, with some yeses and nos, like you were talking about previously on the program, it's a simple yes or no question. Well, in fact, you stated that.
It's I did, because Janet asked the question, and the question from her was yes or no, and then she asked the question, and then he went politician, and so let him let the sails go and let the wind get out of his comment, and then finally I jumped in and asked it again and said, no, we need a yes or no, and he finally said yes, because that was the truth, and he was trying to not answer the question. He was trying to be vague, but he was not being mean about it or anything. He was just trying to get out of it.
Cautious.
Like, yeah, he was cautious. He was cautious, and rightfully so, because everything he was talking about was very new. But, you know, at the same time, if you're going to be willing to come on the radio show and answer questions, then answer the questions.
Yeah, I know the last.
And he did.
He did.
And hats off to him for answering the question.
And the last question that, one of the last questions that we asked Congressman LaMalfa when we did that hour-long interview with him was, you know, we know that Congress in Article 1, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, where times and places and manner of election is under the jurisdiction of the state thereof, but Congress can change regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an important issue. And because we have people out spending millions of dollars traveling all over the place,
mm-hmm.
making money.
Yep.
A lot of stuff going on with all this election stuff, and really and truly, deal is Congress could have said same day voting, we're going to declare it a holiday, you know, we want paper ballots, you know, we want transparent elections. They could invoke every law that we have in HABA.
Right.
You know, all these different things that we have. So, I mean, all those things could have been done.
Right.
And we asked him that question. I said, well, how come you guys just don't fix it? And he said, because we can't get the votes. And I know he was a proponent of everything we were saying.
Right, right.
And he said, because we just can't get the votes. So I said, well, are you saying, Doug, that the Republicans sometimes vote with the Democrats on things like this? And he said, yep, sometimes they do, end of quote. And I think that one of the things we have to look at, it's just reality.
Yeah.
A lot of these politicians don't want to change things because those machines got elected.
Yeah, and those machines keep filling the coffers.
They like it the way it is, you know. Yeah. I was on a national call this last week, and that was there are a lot of people who just aren't very happy with the Republican Congress. You know, they're just not, because of the fact that, you know, when you're in there, and you have the power to change something, to do something right, to make it right,
mm-hmm.
and you don't do it because of selfish reasons. I remember talking to a friend who's in the House of Representatives in the state of Idaho. That's they have their state House of Representatives, which we call in California the Assembly. They call it the State House of Representatives. And I was talking to him, and he wanted to get rid of the machines in the state of Idaho. He wanted them to go in there at the legislative body, get rid of it, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Remember, Article 1, Section 4, they could do it.
Yep.
Okay, and he said they just won't do it. And they have a majority Republican House or State Senate and Governor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said because they like it the way it is. They got elected.
Yep.
I mean, this isn't rocket science, folks.
Right. Well, and you have to think about that, too. It's like, okay, so if they're getting in there and they're doing everything and they're not doing what we ask them to do, then they need to be asked to leave in some capacity, whether you have a recall capability or you have just vote them out, get somebody else who's going to run against them. You know, that's what has to happen. And you've said this many, many times. They only feel the pain of lack of money, the pain of lack of support, the pain of being challenged. That's the pain that, you know, elected officials will feel if they don't do what they're supposed to do or what the constituency thinks they need to do, then they start feeling the pain.
And we have to give them that pain right where it counts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the thing that we have to do as we the people. So, you know, going back maybe with this excuse Steve said, you know, we've got to hold back on that money. How do we get the supervisors to do that? You know, or do we just take that into our own hands? Well, if we're taking a lot of stuff into our own hands other than fixing the streets, right?
Yeah.
Well, then, and even that, maybe looking at some of the roads in Reading, we should do that.
Yeah.
But I think you get in trouble for doing that, from what I understand. So, you know, the deal is that we have to make sure that these people going into election season will do the will of the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all there is to it. They've got to do the will of the people. You know, and it would be nice if we just take the slate and erase everything on there and start fresh.
Start fresh, yeah.
And say, okay, this is what we want as the people, and you are our elected official, and you need to do this.
Yes.
You need to do this.
Figure it out.
Figure it out. Figure it is out. The will of the people, and that's where we have to go.
And sometimes the hardest things to do are the simplest to figure out. And if they just do it, just get her done. Just get her done.
Well, talking about getting her done, we've wound down to the end of our program, and bless you guys. Hope everything will go well for you this year. And remember, we have to be we the people. And if we want to be we the people, we have to start acting like it, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
A change gonna come.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.